Welcome to The Greek Current, a podcast by Halk and Kathimerini. I'm your host, Thanos Davelis. As concerns grow across Europe over the possibility of a complete disruption of Russian gas flows, Greece is transforming itself into a gateway for alternative sources of energy to flow into Europe. Its northern region of Thrace, with cities like Alexandroupoli, is at the heart of this effort, particularly when it comes to enabling Balkan energy independence from Russian gas through key infrastructure projects. Stephen Tagle joins me to look at how Thrace has become pivotal to Greece's and the region's energy security amid the war in Ukraine. Stephen Tagle is a fellow from the Institute of Current World Affairs, funded by the Stavros Niarchos Foundation, and he previously served as speechwriter for the U.S. Embassy in Athens and as a Fulbright Fellow in Greece. Stephen, welcome back on The Greek Current.
Thanks, Thano. It's great to be back.
Stephen, on Wednesday, Greece's energy minister announced that a long-delayed gas pipeline between Greece and Bulgaria has been completed and can start commercial operations this month. How significant is this project for the region?
The natural gas interconnector between Greece and Bulgaria is a crucial project for bringing non-Russian gas to Bulgaria. And the need for this pipeline has become even more urgent since Russia launched its war against Ukraine on February 24th. As the war escalates, Russia has manipulated natural gas supplies to exert pressure on Europe. So we saw Russia's state-controlled gas monopoly, Gazprom, which provided 90% of Bulgarian gas until April 27th, when it halted supplies to Bulgaria and Poland. And since then, Bulgaria has depended entirely on Greece to meet its gas needs. And that's somewhat to the tune of 80% of Bulgarian gas. So the IGB will transport 1 billion cubic meters of Azerbaijani gas to Bulgaria by connecting to the Trans-Adriatic Pipeline, or TAP, in Komotini. And that's one-third of its current need. So if all goes well, the IGB's current capacity of 3 BCMs per year can eventually be increased up to 5 BCMs. And that'll bring Azerbaijani gas and even liquefied natural gas from farther abroad to Bulgaria and other Balkan countries farther north, like Romania, Serbia, North Macedonia, and possibly even Ukraine.
Greece's northern region of Thrace has become the center for regional energy projects that are now coming to fruition, including the IGB interconnector we just discussed. You were based out of Alexandroupoli and you visited a number of these sites. What were your key takeaways from your discussions with those directly involved on these projects?
My visits to the three project sites reinforced my sense of Thrace as a strategic region, a land bridge between East and West, whose historical significance is once more being felt today. Russia's manipulation of energy has sent costs skyrocketing as European countries rush to find alternatives to Russian gas. But with limited gas supply and each country fending for itself, energy security is quickly becoming a zero-sum game as one country's energy security comes at the expense of another's. And as a result, the focus is shifting back to Thrace, especially in terms of energy and the movement of natural gas. And that's why projects like TAP, which since early 2021 has brought natural gas from Azerbaijan across Greek Thrace and southern Albania to Italy, is so important. And similarly, Greece's second liquefied natural gas terminal, the Alexandroupoli FSRU, or Floating Storage Regasification Unit, is scheduled for completion in December 2023. And this will enable northern Greece, and by extension, the Western Balkans, to receive natural gas from Algeria, Qatar, Egypt, and the United States. The hard truth, Thano, is that energy diversification takes time and there are few quick fixes. Many of the projects that I visited that are now coming to fruition have been in development for a decade or more. So increasingly, energy security requires regional partnership and regional solutions. That's why at the inauguration for projects like the Alexandroupoli FSRU, you saw participation by the prime ministers of Greece, Bulgaria, and North Macedonia, as well as the president of Serbia. And these four countries have all reserved capacity in the FSRU, and Greece and Bulgaria own a 20% share in the project, and North Macedonia wants a share as well.
So you would say then that, you know, these early steps that Greece has taken that date back over a decade are now paying off?
Definitely. I think these investments are paying off both for Greece and for the wider region. So since 2009, Greece has reduced its dependence on Russian gas from 82% to 33% in January of this year. At the same time, Greece has marketed itself as an up-and-coming regional energy hub, and projects like the IGB, TAP, and the FSRU indeed promise to help enable the energy independence of Greece's Balkan neighbors, which have relatively low gas needs and are vulnerable to Russian interference. So Greece's promise to secure energy supplies for countries like Bulgaria, North Macedonia, Serbia, and even Ukraine seem achievable, especially once the Alexandroupoli FSRU begins receiving liquefied natural gas.
Stephen, Greece is prioritizing accelerating this important gas infrastructure in the face of the energy crisis facing Europe, but it is also committed to a much greener future, and you cover this in your piece. Are these two priorities compatible with each other?
Conventional wisdom says that fossil fuel development, including gas, would delay the green transition. And indeed, we're seeing that under the threat of being cut off from Russian gas, Greece's short-term contingency plan extends the operation of costlier and dirtier lignite coal plants that were previously set to close next year. However, as Prime Minister Kyriakos Mitsotakis recently appointed Chief Energy Advisor Nikos Tsafos and others have argued, there is in fact no real tension between the development of new gas routes and decarbonization, since Europe had planned to use Russian gas for years. So the sources that I spoke with believe it's both possible and necessary for the EU to meet both goals by supplanting gas with green energy and by future-proofing new projects or by exporting LNG to help Asia reduce its emissions once Europe's own energy transition is further underway. So the operators of Thrace's energy projects that I've spoken to, they've already taken steps to future-proof their infrastructure. For example, many are involved in White Dragon, which is a Greek project to produce green hydrogen that's under consideration for EU funding. And the TAP Greek branch estimates that up to 10% of TAP's capacity could eventually be used to transport hydrogen. At the same time, the Kopoulousos Group, which is a shareholder of the Alexandroupoli FSRU, is also building a high-efficiency gas-fired power plant in Alexandroupoli's industrial zone. And that's expected to come online in early 2024, roughly the same time as the FSRU. The group has also developed wind parks in Thrace's Rhodope Mountains. So it's invested in other sources of green energy as well as gas.
As these energy projects transform Thrace into a vital energy hub for the broader region, what are their local impacts?
Most of these energy projects are committed to working with local communities to fairly compensate locals whose land is affected and to offer other benefits and incentives like protecting cultural heritage, limiting environmental impacts, creating access roads, and making social and educational investments. However, I found that there's sometimes a discrepancy between intentions and actions. And that seemed to be the case when I talked to local farmers and fishermen in Apollos, which is near Alexandroupoli. And this is where construction will soon begin on the land portion of the Alexandroupoli FSRU, where it connects to the national gas system. In particular, these residents expressed outrage over an announcement on Twitter recruiting FSRU personnel to work at the company's Athens office. The residents are concerned that there's not one new position that's been advertised so far that'll be based in Alexandroupoli, and there have been no publicly announced plans to open an office or recruit locally. At the same time, resident farmers claim that they haven't received any information from gas trade about compensation if the pipeline passes through their land, and they report that their fields have been disturbed by surveyors. In addition, I spoke with local fishermen who were also worried that the FSRU would raise sea temperature by 2 or 3 degrees Celsius, causing problems with their fish and affecting their livelihoods. So from what I've heard by talking with these locals, I think it seems wise that companies should move as quickly as possible to address local concerns and to keep locals informed throughout the process.
The city of Alexandroupoli, where you were based, is at the center of these key developments. Is there a clear sense of the growing significance of the city among its residents?
I think there is a growing sense among residents about the developing significance of Alexandroupoli. During my stay, the city welcomed the prime minister, the president, other ministers, as well as many government officials and foreign ambassadors. And at the same time, like many in Europe, the people of Alexandroupoli are witnessing firsthand the effects of these larger geopolitical trends. The transition from lignite to natural gas and to greener fuel sources, and also Russia's weaponization of energy. In February, for example, I could see outside my balcony as construction workers laid pipeline along Leofors Dimokratias, which is the city's main thoroughfare, during the installation of the city's natural gas network. Meanwhile, rising gas and energy bills have created a great deal of anxiety for Greeks who have suffered through a decade of financial crisis and the global pandemic. Gasoline prices in the city have risen from 1.697 euros to 2.459 euros per liter since the start of the year. And to give your U.S. listeners a sense, that's over $9.5 per gallon. But Alexandroupoli sits at the center of all of these developments. Combined with the upcoming port privatization and the upgrade to the railway network, the city stands to gain a great deal in the coming years as new infrastructure traverses historical crossroads.
Stephen, thanks for joining us on The Greek Current again. Always great speaking with you.
Ευχαριστώ, Θάνο.
In other news, European Council President Charles Michel urged North Macedonia on Tuesday to back a French proposed compromise on ending a dispute with Bulgaria that's blocking the country's EU accession bid. North Macedonia's president and the government have backed the proposed deal. At a news conference Tuesday with North Macedonia's Prime Minister, Dimitar Kovacevski, Michel stressed that the French proposal is too important an opportunity to be missed. Michel said that if Skopje accepts the proposal, then the path for the country to start EU accession talks could open within days. Bulgaria has already formally accepted the French proposal, which now requires the backing of North Macedonia's parliament. Finally, there will be significantly increased subsidies to cover the cost of electricity in July. Environment and Energy Minister Kostas Krekas said on Tuesday, announcing that all residences will have their power supply subsidized without income criteria and for all levels of consumption. Specifically, all residential consumers will be subsidized with 200 euros per megawatt hour, thus absorbing 84% of the increase, while the rate for vulnerable households will be 240 euros per megawatt hour, covering 100% of the increases. Since subsidies began in September 2021, the amounts spent exceed 5 billion euros, Skreka said, noting that this was the largest sum spent in the EU as a proportion of GDP and the strength of the economy. That wraps up today's episode of The Greek Current. Thanks for tuning in.